Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show, where we share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, to what we did and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
And my name is Ruthie.
Ruthie, welcome back to the show. Albert, welcome back to the show.
Welcome back from Comic-Con.
Welcome back from Comic-Con, yeah. If you guys haven't listened to the Comic-Con episode, listen to that one. Also, listen to Extra Stuff, Extra Spoils, which contains a lot of the other ones. But I'm going to play a montage of that at the end of the show, for those of you who haven't listened to that. But yeah, so Ruthie, what have you been up to since I was gone? Wow, all that, huh?
I tend to have amnesia when the week ends.
Okay.
What dates were you gone again?
This is pretty much since we last recorded, because I think the last time we recorded was almost 2 weeks ago.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, because we did like a little bit for the Comic-Con episode, but that was still recorded earlier than that.
Oh, that's right. Well, I had a kids' party. That was fun. It was Frozen themed.
Yay.
as all kids love. And got free ice cream from Ben & Jerry's last week on Thursday, I think.
Nice.
That was pretty awesome. And a bunch of Liverpool soccer players were signing autographs by my job.
Oh.
Yeah, last week. That was pretty cool. Go!
Oh, you want to do that again? Okay, sure.
Go!
All right, but I wanted it to be my goal.
Oh, go for it then. I'm not stopping you. Okay, so that's pretty much it then, huh?
Pretty much. Not as exciting as, you know, your trip to Comic-Con.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. But, you know, but there we go. Okay, well, that's easy enough opening. on with the show. So, Ruthie, this is your topic. What did you want to talk about?
Food coma. I'm actually feeling right now because I just had dinner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you know, we always do the show after dinner. So sometimes I'm here. Sometimes I'm not really here because I'm halfway falling asleep.
See, for me, I'm doing dinner after the show.
Well, has the time difference.
Right. Actually, Jessica's eating right now and I'm just here recording. But yeah. So okay, food coma. What about it?
Yeah, you ever get that feeling like after having a nice meal, you just can't not get rid of the itis. You just get really sleepy uncontrollably and you just need to go take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, according to research,
yes,
eating foods with tryptophan, like for example, during Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving's still like 3 months away, but
right,
you know, like the next holiday after Labor Day, where if you eat a lot of turkey, especially turkey, it releases, I think the turkey protein actually has tryptophan in it. And that's what triggers some of your hormones to basically tell your body it's time to go to sleep.
Yeah, but that's turkey. You have an excuse for food coma after turkey. What excuse do you have for other days besides Thanksgiving?
So for other days, according to eater.com, they say it actually has something to do with protein and salt.
Okay.
And surprisingly, it's when you're consuming it, depending on the time of day, sugar doesn't actually play a role. It has to do with your protein and salt levels.
Oh, that's interesting, because I always thought it was sugar.
Yeah, because usually people, you know, the common misconception is when you get a sugar, when you get sugar, you get a sugar rush, and then you just get a sugar crash afterwards.
Right. It looks like there's even like a scientific term for food coma. It's called postprandial somnolence.
Yes, postprandial.
Postprandial somnolence.
Where you need, see, this is why we need to have siesta. So maybe this is the case of food coma, actually. It's not because we have food coma. It's not because of postprandial somnolence.
Whoa, very good. Postprandial somnolence. Very, very, very good with that pronunciation.
Keep throwing words at these chemical terms at me.
So what's it about postprandial somnolence?
What?
Postprandial somnolence.
It's It basically the protein and the salt that we eat tend to contribute to the feeling of fatigue. And I guess it's the consumption of it. Your body's digesting it, it's going through it, and your body's basically rebalancing the protein and the salt content. And then it turns into energy later on.
So it isn't because you ate too much. It has a lot to do with the salt.
It has a lot to do with the digestion. So a lot of things go into it, which is why going back to siesta, I think it's really important to have.
So you're saying you can't really get postprandial somnolence from eating lots of vegetables.
Good.
All right. You can't get postprandial somnolence from eating a lot of vegetables.
No, not really. Yeah, you can get it from, you get it mostly from high carbohydrate
meals. So meat, mostly meat stuff then?
Yes, proteins.
Or salty, or just general salty food?
Yes, generally salty food. Oh, also, fun fact. Eating beef, while it's a good source of protein and iron, can take up to a week to fully digest in your stomach.
Oh, well, a whole week?
Mm-hmm. Pretty gross, right?
Interesting. what else you got for postprandial somnolence?
For postprandial somnolence?
Yeah, postprandial somnolence.
It changes blood flow to the brain.
Okay.
So it causes a shift in blood flow away from the brain to digestive organs. Again, going back to digestive system, your body is basically focusing on digesting all the food that you just ate. Okay. And so what happens to your brain is it just starts shutting down because all your energy resources are going from your brain to your stomach. Okay. So that you can successfully digest and reuse that energy from the food that you just ate back to your brain and back to the rest of your body.
Okay.
So it's pretty interesting stuff. So it's not just about a sugar crash. It's not just about eating too much. It's about eating the right kind of foods in order to not get postprandial somnolence.
Yeah, postprandial somnolence. Essentially, like a lot of food we eat will give you postprandial somnolence.
Yes, this is probably why a lot of older cultures actually just slept and took the afternoon off to sleep 2 to 3 hours, because according to research, that's exactly the time that you need in order to take time to rest and digest your food. Now, I know here in America, we're not very fond of napping, but in other cultures, napping is actually very important and very much a part of the day in everyday life. I remember even in the Philippines back then, when I lived there, we had a break. Well, my school at least had a break between 12 and 4 o'clock, where we would get out of school 12:30 and we would go back to school around 3, and you would see the streets are dead from 12:30 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm. Like, that was actually the worst time to be out, because like there's no people on the streets. There's actually a higher chance of you getting kidnapped during that time.
Okay.
Because everybody was asleep.
Okay.
I
have a feeling the story is going to go somewhere else, or we're diverting from what we were actually talking about, which is postprandial somnolence.
Postprandial somnolence.
Yeah. So what can we do to counter postprandial somnolence? Short of just not eating the food we're supposed to eat or not supposed to eat.
Smaller meals help. I actually know a lot of people who train. They eat multiple but smaller meals throughout the day. Every couple of hours, they'll eat like a rabbit. Drink a lot of fluids, because your brain needs fluids in order to function better. And it's like preaching to the choir here, because I hardly drink water, which probably explains why I'm always sleepy.
When you say this, you're drinking a lot of liquids to help with the postprandial somnolence, it sounds more to me like an alcohol thing. You know, avoid getting drunk, or avoid getting like the hangover. But the article actually mentions a few more things, and these are from quote-unquote doctors. Well, they're doctors.
They are doctors.
All right, so I'm just going to go ahead and see what it says right here. After you finish your meal, go take a 15-minute or longer walk, advises a registered dietitian and nutrition editor for bodybuilding.com, Paul Salter. Walking after a meal enhances transit time of food through your digestive system and helps lower blood glucose levels because more glucose is taken up by your hormones. He also recommends, there we go, drinking water throughout the rest of the day to help move things along in the digestive system. So yeah, so walking, I guess. Is that the way a lot of old people walk after dinner?
I think they just walk to keep the blood circulating. I don't know. We have to interview one of our older uncles and aunts or something.
Here, Dr. Rao also agrees with the strategy. Also, papaya. You can eat papaya. It contains enzymes that can help break down food and move things along a little faster. You can have papaya enzymes in capsules. Oh. Hot coffee will also stimulate the stomach emptying, or as will tea to a lesser degree. And chili pepper has the same stimulating effect. Oh, okay. So there's food solutions to the food problem.
Food solutions to food problem. Well, coffee too has caffeine, which for most people wakes you up anyway. I should tell my boss to do the opposite thing because he always takes the team out for a walk before lunch. But then, you know, if we're walking a couple of laps around the park next to work, then we're tired after we eat. Mm-hmm. I should tell him we should walk after eating.
Yeah, I totally agree. But there we go. That's food coma, a.k.a. postprandial somnolence.
Postprandial somnolence.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a song called postprandial somnolence.
I wonder if there's a band called postprandial somnolence.
Here.
Say postprandial somnolence 5 times in a row.
I'll go Google it real quick. Postprandial somnolence. Okay, let's see what Google says.
Postprandial somnolence.
Okay, here's a song called Postprandial Somnolence by Seven Diosma.
Oh, I see that. Is it a Japanese band?
I don't know. I'm guessing this is just instrumental. I think it will definitely like put you into a food coma. Okay, I'm gonna fast. Oh yeah, it's just instrumental. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So it actually
somnolence. Food coma. Okay, I think that's like you to stop.
Postprandial somnolence, people.
Yes. All right. So I did went ahead and did a recording with Jiaming, co-host of Spoilers Please. We did talk about MoviePass. We did record this, I think, like 4 or 5 days ago. Assuming there was a big thing that happened with MoviePass last week, little did we know something big was going to happen this week. So I'm going to go ahead and play the recording first, and then I'll follow up with what's going on this week right after. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to pre-recorded Albert. Thanks, live recording Albert. All right, so MoviePass is once again in the news. So Albert, play team music.
We're once again talking about MoviePass. Even though they can be ass, Albert will still use the service. Cause you know what they really want is Sponsor.
Okay, so most recently on a Thursday night, MoviePass went down because apparently
Not in a sexy way.
That's true. Because apparently they didn't want to pay their bills, and the service was down, which sucks.
Yeah,
for a lot of people, I guess it doesn't really matter because one of the rules they're also starting, they started with that Jennifer Lawrence movie earlier this year,
Red Sparrow.
They're now blocking certain movies,
yeah,
from being used MoviePass during opening weekend or whatever. Mm. So if you wanted to watch MoviePass that night anyway, you couldn't watch it anyway. Yeah. So
but I thought this one was different. This one was they just literally just ran out of money.
Oh yeah, they did.
Yeah,
but, they didn't but have even money when, to even for. When the money came back, you still couldn't watch Mission Impossible because it's a blocked out movie. Like it's like you have to wait before you can watch it, kind of thing. So it's like And then the surge pricing, a lot of people on Twitter are complaining about surge pricing. Unless you're an annual membership, you have to pay surge pricing. Yeah. So I'm very glad I got the annual membership thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like there's all this stuff that's happening with WooPass. And what was our original prediction? That we're going to go out of business by the end of summer?
Something like that.
I think
that.
Months ago we said something like that, yeah. Right? They're claiming they can still be around by next year, but based on the whole billing situation, maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think they make it to the end of the year. Yeah. And that's being generous.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I even bought their t-shirt, right? Because I wanted, well, honestly, I bought it ironically. Because like years down the line, I'll have a MoviePass t-shirt and go, oh yeah, MoviePass. I remember that. That's part of the reason why I bought the shirt. But at the same time, I think MoviePass still needs to get credit for the fact that they popularized the subscription model for movie theaters. They are technically, they brought back people to go see more movies because of the subscription model. And it's kind of sad for me that they're not getting the credit for that.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of wish they were. And
it's to me, just reading tea leaves, it seems like they're just going to be a footnote in history as far as like movie subscription. I think they're going to be the first one out. They're going to be the first one out the door, you know what I mean? So they're gonna be the martyr and stuff like that. They set up a model, they set up a new avenue of bringing people into the movie theater. But like I said, I don't think they're gonna last. You know what I mean?
No. I mean, in all honesty, yeah. There's no way. I mean, from the very beginning when I got MoviePass, I was like counting down pretty much like when they're gonna die. I mean, we may as well just call it a segment. Death Movie Watch, yeah. Death Watch, or a Movie Pass, Death Watch, or whatever. 2018, as they do in the news, right?
Yeah. And then, I knew they were in trouble when they started buying or investing in movies, and so now they're buying movies and paying you to go see their movies and stuff like that. That just doesn't make a lot of sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, according to them, it's making sense to them. They're saying their goal is to get 5 million subscription and they'll break even, right? And I'm like, how does that still make sense? I don't understand their logic.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But at the same time, if I got a thing from AMC saying like my AMC Premier membership kind of thing. Like I normally watch Regal, but on occasion I didn't watch AMC stuff this year. And this year I watched 5 movies in the AMC theaters. And according to their data, I'm in the top 50% of the amount of movies I've seen in the AMC membership. And that's only 5 movies. For me, that's a small number. But if I'm in the top 50% that watch 5 movies in AMC, that means the bottom 50% really only maybe like watch 1, maybe 2, which goes again with the whole MoviePass model. Like, well, as much as there are people who are power users and watch a lot of movies, there are still far more people who only really watch 1 or 2. And that's where they're going to get the money.
Sure.
I just don't see why they just don't like raise the price to $20 or $30. I mean, heck, I was paying $45 at one point when MoviePass was in service, and I was perfectly happy because I was watching a lot of movies.
Yeah,
you know, if that can save them, I would like them to be saved. Now, if they don't get saved, I want Regal to have their own subscription service because I like Regal.
Yeah. Oh, good luck with all that. And for my part, I'm about 6 weeks into AMC.
AMC Stubs A-list. A-list.
I'm
going to go ahead and play the music for AMC Stubs A-list.
It's time to talk about AMC Stubs A-list. Is it really the best movie theater subscription service?
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well. I mean, I've seen, I think, 6 movies so far and stuff like that. So it's paid for itself pretty well so far. I don't think my movie going experience has changed. I mean, you know what? I take that back. I think it has changed because one weekend I was out running errand and Infinity War was playing somewhere and stuff like that. And if I didn't have AMC A-list, I wouldn't have seen it because I wouldn't have spent
that $12. Yes, you would.
No, actually,
wouldn't have. You had a habit of watching movies multiple times.
I've seen it 3 times already before that.
Right.
Before this movie.
It says what I mean.
Yeah.
And that's before A-list.
Yeah, that's before A-list. But I wouldn't have seen it a 4th time. But then I realized I had the A-pass, A-list thing, and I said, I set a slot open for the week. And went to go see it, and it's great. So I think it has changed my view. I think I do go a little bit more.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the average person who goes into the subscription model will definitely watch more movies than they would if they didn't have one.
Yeah, and so far, honestly, I have no issues with A-list so far.
Yeah, which is great. Like I said, my only issue with AMC A-list comes to the first word, AMC. I really wish that Regal had something, because I prefer Regal, because Regal seems to support indie films a lot more in my neighborhood than AMC does. You know, I mean, I saw Three Identical Strangers, which is an indie film. I saw Eighth Grade, which is an indie film, and all that. I saw Regal, you know. But yeah, I want Regal to have their own subscription service. But at the same time, I still got to give MovieCraft credit for making it popularized. And they did save me a lot of money. They've saved me like over $1,000 of money as the years I've used MoviePass is. Mm-hmm. And it's, for me, it's a little harder to criticize them, or at least like completely blame them, mm-hmm. because they've saved me a lot of money.
So what you did, what you're saying is you've hit it, and now you're gonna quit it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, no, I'm not gonna quit it. I, like I said in the beginning, I'm gonna keep using
it. Well, I think they're gonna force your hand on this one. I think they're going out of business. They're not gonna make it to the end of the year.
I suppose if I want to give back to MoviePass, I just don't go to the movies and just give them money. But
if you have $5 million around, they could sure use it, because they just got full of $5 million. Who knows how long that's gonna last?
Yeah,
it's still end of July. There's still like another month in the summer movies going season. There's a lot, you know. And then at the end of the year, there's gonna be some big movies that they pay out for. I don't know. They're not gonna last, man.
Yeah.
R.I.P. MoviePass.
Well, no, it's still
R.I.P.
MoviePass. Dead Watch 2018.
R.I.P. MoviePass.
Not yet. That'll be next year. So your prediction right now is before the end of the year, MoviePass goes under?
Yes. And end of the year is generous. I would say before the end of the month. I'm sorry, before the end of the summer month and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, my prediction is still 2019. I still give them till 2019.
Yeah.
And then after that, I don't see how they're surviving.
Yeah.
And the third prediction that neither one of us are doing, which I could, but I'm not completely confident it's going to happen, Regal buys off MoviePass. And then use their system as their subscription
service. I have $5 in my pocket. I could buy a MoviePass once it files Chapter 11.
I'm also really close to like considering buying a stock in MoviePass because it's so cheap.
Yeah, you do that. Yeah, you do what you have to do.
Because I was having flashbacks to Netflix where I could have bought Netflix, but it was really cheap, and I didn't. And now I regret it.
You could also bought the Blockbuster video stock really cheap too at one point.
Well, I knew Blockbuster was never coming back, but Netflix I knew was going to stick around, even though everybody said it wasn't.
And I heard Facebook is really cheap now. If you want to take a look,
it's not that cheap. It's cheap
even after $120 billion. Really?
It's cheaper, but not that much.
Oh, cheaper. It's exciting stuff, man.
All right, so we're going to move it back to live recording, Albert. Hopefully, there's no big new MoviePass news to give out. But if there is, I'm sure he'll cover that. So go ahead, live recording, Albert. Thanks, pre-recorded, Albert. So, big news indeed for MoviePass. There was that whole blackout thing last week, as we discussed in that pre-recorded episode that Rudy hasn't heard yet. but so essentially what happened was that this is pretty much MoviePass Death Watch 2018, right? They decided that they are going to go ahead and raise the price for MoviePass from $9.95 to $14.95. Oh. And they're also going, they also said that any movie that has 1,000 plus screens is not going to be available in the first 2 weeks unless available in a promotional basis kind of thing. So essentially what the majority of people want to use MoviePass for, you're not going to be able to do it. It doesn't necessarily mean MoviePass is dead. It just means that it's very limited to what you originally planned to use MoviePass for in the first place. So a lot of people are flocking to AMC Stubs A-List, which is AMC Theater's specific subscription service. But theirs is like $19.95 a month. You get to watch as much as 12. My math. 12
calculator there.
12 movies a month, three movies a week. I actually went ahead and subscribed to AMC Stubs A-List because it's gonna have to be a combination. Like there are some big movies that I want to watch opening weekend, and I guess I'm gonna have to go to AMC for that. So essentially, MoviePass will be for budget theaters and indie films, and AMC Stubs A-List will be for all the major releases. That's kind of how I'm gonna juggle it. Yeah, so a lot of big things for MoviePass that a lot of people are pretty much saying, MoviePass is pretty much dead. It's not dead yet, just different once again. Yeah. You know, the average ticket price is actually $9.27 as of 2018, which is higher than last year. that's the average ticket price. I know a lot of people go like, oh, ticket prices are like $13 or whatever. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
But they are like cheaper movie theaters with cheaper pricing. So the average ticket price for the nationwide is $927.
Interesting.
So if you want to put that in numbers, for MoviePass, I would recommend watching 2 to 3 movies a month to make it worth it, especially at that $14.95 thing. If you have the annual membership, it's more or less kind of like 10 to 80 movies a year, like 1 or 2 a month, which is what I'm going to be doing, essentially. For Stubbs Alias, watch 3 to 4 movies a month to make it worth it, or eventually 26 to 48 movies a year. That will pretty much justify having the subscription service. Now, if you're curious on how much I actually saved through MoviePass, I actually went ahead and wrote this down. Did the research, crunched the numbers and all that stuff. Here we go. How much I save and how many movies I watched because of MoviePass. So, Ruthie, just give me a minute here. From September 2017 to July 2018, pretty much when they went to the $9.95 a month thing or $7.50 for the annual membership like myself, I've watched 119 movies and save over $1,100 in ticket prices.
What?
Yeah. That's an average of $2.16 per ticket. So this is even cheaper than budget theaters. I could have spent over $1,400, but because of MoviePass, I didn't have to. So that's the reason why I like MoviePass. This is my 6th year of MoviePass, almost complete 6th year. So from November 2012 to now, July 2018, almost a full 6 years, I've watched a total of 744 movies and saved over $4,500 in ticket prices. That's a lot. That's an average of $3.99 per ticket. And the reason why it's $3.99 and not lower, because for 2 years, MoviePass was charging $40 to $45 a month, and they were only allowing 6 movies a month, which means that I had to pay out of pocket for several of the other movies. And that's kind of how it raised that ticket price thing. But $3.99 a month is still like below budget theaters, and definitely like less than half of the average ticket price in nationwide.
That's a pretty good deal. But let me ask you something. Did you end up watching more movies because of MoviePass?
Yes.
Or were you pretty much watching the same amount of movies per month?
No, not at all. Before, I used to average 1 movie a week. And then it became like 4 movies a week. So that's a big jump.
So if you were watching 4 movies a week, 1 movie a week, per month, how much would that be per month? And then multiply that by the last 12 years if you were doing the same thing.
Well, 6 years ago, the average ticket price was, what, $8, maybe even $7.50. So if you go that, $8, $16, $20, $30, almost $40. Almost $40 a month just for four movies.
Okay.
Yeah. So, movie pass definitely.
By 12, multiply that by another 12 years.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, right now, like I said, I'm doing the combo for AMC Stubbs A-List and MoviePass. So that's almost $30 a month just to watch movies. So I just got to make sure I watch like minimum of 4 movies for Stubbs and a minimum of 2 movies for MoviePass. So minimum of 6 movies a month and it'll be worth it for me. But I'm the exception because I watch a lot of movies. If you are the kind of person that only watches major releases, like the big movies, blockbusters, just stick with AMC Stubbs A-List. AMC Movie Theaters has the big movie releases, so just go there. If you're like me, who likes a lot of indie films, MoviePass will be your friend because MoviePass, caters to a lot of the classic theaters, the independent theaters kind of thing. Well, what's the word I'm looking for? The indie theaters, yeah.
Mom and pop theaters?
Yeah. Usually the movie theaters, yeah, mom and pop theaters, sure. I mean, they're mostly chains, but yeah, essentially that. The other option is Cinemia. But Cinemia is relatively pretty much like MoviePass, but you get to watch less movies a month. So I'm still worried about that. But if you're kind of person that only watches like 1 movie a month, yeah, Cinemia is completely a good option. Look that up. On the show notes, I have the links for all this stuff. So take a look at that. But since me and Jiaming weren't able to go ahead and close off the AMC Stubbs A-List discussion with the theme song, I guess I'll play it now.
It's time to go see some movies!
And let's not forget, gotta play the MoviePass outro too!
So MoviePass, will you please be our sponsor? Sponsor!
A lot of people are calling MoviePass out as dead. But I'm pretty sure we're still going to be talking about it.
For years and years to come.
All right, so let's go ahead and check out what's going on. Apparently, in New Zealand. No, this is New Zealand. There was this 4-day work week experiment that went so well, the company is going to keep it. Yay! I would definitely want to do that. You work 4 days, you get paid 5 days, so essentially you get like a 3-day weekend every week. That's nice.
What?
Yeah, so here, I'll read the tagline here. For the 2 months trial, the workers at trust firm Perpetual Guardian only had to work 4 days a week, but got paid for 5. Independent surveys commissioned from researchers at the University of Auckland and the Auckland University of Technology indicated staff stress levels during the trial went down from 45% to 38%, while work-life balance improved from 54% to 78%. Essentially, they perceived no reduction in job performance, and the survey data showed a marginal increase across most teams. That's right. If you take care of your employees, they will take care of the company.
Exactly. Because happy employees are more productive employees.
Exactly.
Dead on.
Now, bring that over here. I want that.
I know, right?
Yeah. I used to dedicate like 1 day of vacation hours for a 3-day weekend every month, just something to look forward to and just like kind of like a gimme for me. And I kind of want to go back to that, but I use my vacation hours so much. Like I guess it's pretty much happens anyway.
Yeah. And I would get out at 3:00 every Friday. It was a company choice. Like they asked the employees, do you want to get out at 1:00 on summer during summer Fridays, or do you want to get out at 3:00 year round? So naturally, everybody chose 3:00 year round. And it actually increases productivity, I think, because it gives you something to look forward to. You every Friday, you get a little bit more of, you get a head start to the weekend. And plus, but no, this 4-day work week is awesome because everyone's tired by the time it's like Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So are you really going to get any work done on Friday? Probably not.
Right. So the Thursday will be the new Friday if you kind of do that.
Yeah,
but I really think because you get to do a lot of other stuff in the 3-day weekend, that extra day, it really makes a difference. And then by the time you go back to work, you're refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah,
I think so too. All right, speaking of experiments, there was an all-night outdoor concert called Sleep, which creates a calming reprieve with a sense of loss by composer Max Richter. And they performed most recently in L.A. They also had one in the East Coast too, I believe. Essentially, the performance of Sleep is to 500-plus people lying on cots, which is like the opposite of what a concert is. You're going to a concert to go to sleep as opposed to wake yourself up from loud music.
This sounds like my kind of concert. Postprandial somnolence.
Yes, it's a good follow-up to postprandial somnolence. Exactly. But don't you feel kind of weird like sleeping out in public with all those people around you, though?
Yeah, I live in New York. I fall asleep on the subway.
Oh, come on.
Sometimes.
Don't do that. See, for an LA person, I'm thinking, don't do that. But that's normal over there, really?
Yeah, people fall asleep like sitting down all the time. You just kind of like knock your head back and take a quick nap while waiting for your next stop.
Wow.
Yeah. That
sounds scary.
And people actually always wonder, like, how do you know which one's your stop? You just know. Like, I fall asleep all the time to the point where I actually start dreaming, and then I just wake up when it's my stop.
Jeez, that's surprising. Wouldn't there be weirdos out there?
There's always weirdos out there, but you know, if you're sleeping, they know you know what's going on. Like you have to be able to sleep in a way where you're asleep, you're dead asleep, but you're still aware of what's going on. So okay. You like peek your eye open every once in a while. So people know not to mess with you, and make sure you hold on to your bag while you're sleeping.
Oh yeah, that's important. But in terms of the concert sleep thing, it says right here that in about an hour or two, the whole audience was truly out cold. The music is a mix of string harmonies and electronic drones with vocals from soprano Grace Davidson.
Hmm.
Okay.
It's like nap time for adults.
Nap time for adults, exactly. Speaking of performances, remember we had a discussion about how Toto's song Africa got really popular suddenly, and part of it has to do with Weezer covering that song, and then he made it even more popular. So to pay it back, Toto went ahead and covered Hashpipe by Weezer. You know, they performed the cover song on Ted Stryker's show on K-Rock in L.A. here. The cover song itself will be officially released in August 10. And in fact, both Weezer and Toto will be performing in Southern California on August 8. Not the same show, but coincidentally enough, the same day. So yeah, so here, I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit from their cover song, Toto singing Hashpipe by Weezer. Yeah, so it's actually pretty good. It sounds almost like Weezer, actually. It's a pretty straight cover of the song. I'm kind of surprised.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And speaking of tributes, Guardians of the Galaxy, the cast, they pledged their support for James Gunn. You're familiar with what happened to James Gunn, right?
The director, right?
Yeah, the director-writer. He got kicked out because of some alt-right group went ahead and released some of the tweets he made like 7 or 8 years ago. Because back then, when he was still working with Troma, you know, are you familiar with the Troma company, Troma Studios? They're the ones that did the Toxic Adventure, Tromeo and Juliet. Basically, they do like shock videos kind of thing.
So he was one of them.
Yeah. So he was like a provocateur, right? So he will say like salacious stuff on Twitter all those years ago. He's a different guy now, though. But it was sprung back up. Disney fired him. So,
because Guardians of the Galaxy is a Disney product,
correct?
Yeah.
So they posted the pledge on like Instagram with Chris Pine, not Chris Pine, Chris. What's the guy's name for Guardians of the Galaxy, Jurassic World? Chris, not Evans. Chris Pratt, son of a bitch.
That guy's name.
One of the Chris's. So yeah, so on Chris Pratt's Instagram, they had like the pledge that the whole cast said that they want to work back with James Gunn. You know, I actually do want to read parts of it because I think it's very important for people to read and hear what they said. So it goes, this is edited, but you know, to our fans and friends, we fully support James Gunn. We were all shocked by his abrupt firing last week and have intentionally waited these 10 days to respond in order to think, pray, listen, and discuss. Edit. There is little due process in the court of public opinion, which is so true. James is likely not the last good person to be put on trial. Given the growing political divide in this country, it's safe to say instances like this will continue. Although we hope Americans from across the political spectrum can ease up on the character assassinations and stop weaponizing mob mentality. Edit. It is our hope that what has transpired can serve as an example for all of us to realize the enormous responsibility we have to ourselves and to each other regarding the use of our written words when we etch them in digital stone, that we as a society may learn from the experience and in the future will think twice before we decide what we want to express. And in so learning, perhaps can harness this capability to help and heal instead of hurting each other. So yeah, there's more to it. Click on the link in the show notes. But I think those are very important. It talks about how don't just put whatever you want on the internet unless you want it to bite you in the ass. You know,
exactly.
So, you know, I mean, for old people like myself, that's what I grew up on. Like, don't put everything on the internet. You know, so this is a reminder that.
Or just don't put everything out there to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, it goes without saying, like, you know, you don't have to divulge your entire personal history to a new coworker who you probably will never ever hang out with outside of the workplace, and will probably never even keep contact with if you do leave that workplace. Don't post everything on Instagram if you think that, or Facebook if you think that somebody in the future or your future self 5 years from now is not going to like those pictures.
Exactly. Like I said, if you don't want it to bite you in the ass, probably don't put it up there.
Don't get a tattoo that you will later regret getting.
Exactly. But yeah, and that's what's going on. Well, listeners, this was episode 194 of the Stuff and Junk Show, recorded on July 28th, July 30th, and August 1st, 2018. There's a story on why that it was broken down that way. But thanks for joining us. Ruthie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at Grace13, that's GRRACE13, for random stuff, travel stuff, DIY stuff, and mostly cat stuff.
And this is Albert. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Albert5x5. You can find me on the I Saw That Movie blog, the weekly comic strip, Spoilers Please podcast, as well as extra stuff, extra spoils. I'll get to that a little bit. If you want to send your comments, send it to whowhatwhereswhy@gmail.com via our Facebook page or through the website. If you want to show your support, head over to whowhatwhereswhy.com/support and find out how. Music has been provided by the Y-Axis as well as Apache Tomcat. And you can find the Y-Axis at yaxis.com. And Apache Tomcat, I'm sorry, I don't remember where you're from. but yeah, thank you for for the music that I'm going to be playing pretty soon after this. All the links and information can be found on whowhatwhereswhy.com, except for the Apache Tomcat thing, as well as our show notes, which Apache Tomcat has credits there. But yeah. Anyways, over at Comic-Con, I did release a full episode on the Extra Stuff, Extra Spoilers podcast, episode number 46. Go ahead and take a listen to that. But if you haven't listened to it, I'm going to go ahead and play you a highlight reel from that episode right after me and Ruthie say goodbye. All right? Well, I said a bunch of things today, but thanks for listening.
And it's time for me to go to sleep. Thanks for stopping by.
Until next time, this has been another podcast on the Who, What, Where, Why Network. I'm here at the San Diego Comic-Con International 2018, and who am I with?
Donnie Tran.
Donnie Tran of what?
Of Seattle?
I sound aggressive, but Donnie's my friend here. He's at DonnieDTran.com. Oh, he's an artist for Aspen Comics. That kind of stuff. Come on.
That's a great intro. I should have you be my hype man for every single show.
I am with the man behind the voice, the anger and geek put together, personified, Mr. Ralph Garvin. How's it going?
Angry and geek? What are you talking about, man? I'm so angry at you right now.
No. See, if Lewis.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. If Louis Black was more angrier, I guess he could take that crown, but no, it's all yours, man. It's all yours.
Louis Black's one of my favorite comedians. Unbelievable that no people don't love him.
It's if you had the Infinity Gauntlet, which gives you the power of God, what would be the first thing you do?
Take over the world.
Can you be more specific?
I'm not too sure what it does, so probably just take over the world.
If you were in charge of the world, what would be the first thing you would do?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'd probably go shopping. Honestly.
I'm here outside here at Comic-Con, but I'm here with Kevin Ryder from the Kevin and Bean Show. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Doing all right. Sweaty, tired, but you know how it is. You have sound effects, both of you. Oh, you're gonna blow my mics. But Bumblebee, whatever reason, this panel won me over. Started off with, "You've got the touch, you've got the power." Stan Bush was actually there and performed live on stage. His most iconic song from Transformers the movie, Transformers the animated movie from the 80s. Quick, do your best Jeff Goldblum impersonation.
Ah, I pardon you from life.
So now I'm asking this for everybody here at Comic-Con. If you had the Infinity Gauntlet, what would be the first thing you do?
Get rid of Bieber, Justin Bieber. I would just snap my fingers and make Bieber go away. Maybe Taylor Swift too. Maybe Tatum Swindler and Justin Bieber would both go away. That'd be my first finger snap.
That's terrible.